Mesechtes Baba Kamo, Daf Pei Tes, 9 lines on the top of Daf Pei Tes and Aleph, we just saw a Braisa, which as Tesis points out on Daf Pei Ches and Beis, is very similar to the Mishnah in Mesechtes Makos on Daf Gimel and Aleph, that if Adam testified at Rachel's divorce and that she already received her ksuba from her husband Reuven, and both Reuven and Rachel contradict the Adam and say that they were never divorced, and as the Braisa states, they are still living together as husband and wife, and then these Adam are found to be Adam Zaymim, so of course there is an Oinish of Kasha Zaymim, and the Braisa teaches us that we can't say that the Edom wanted to cause Rachel to lose her rights to Aksuba and should have to pay the entire amount of Aksuba, including the Mana Masayim, as well as Taisa Aksuba and Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel. There is certainly a possibility that Rachel would never have received Aksuba as she would have never been divorced, or she predeceased Reuven, she wouldn't receive Aksuba, and we also have to take into account the time value of money. Therefore, as the Brisa states, Ein Omer Mishal Mekol Ksubasa, Ela Tevis Hanok Ksubasa, and these Edom Zayim only have to pay her what the Gemara refers to as Tevis Hana, the amount that a buyer would pay Rachel today for the rights to collect a ksuba if she will be divorced or she will become an almana. And of course, this is a very discounted price, as the buyer will certainly discount the purchase price based on the factors that we already mentioned. Number one, the time value of money, and number two, the possibility that Rachel will never have the right to collect a ksuba, and therefore the buyer will never receive any money for this ksuba. And just as a side point, the Mefarshim explained that generally the word Tevis Hana is a term used when discussing the right of Yisrael to decide as to which Kohen or Levi he will give his Trumas and Maises to, and there's a Shaila of Tevis Hana Mammon or Lavka Mammon Dabi, but Al Gemara just means that there is some small value to this Ksuba, as Rachel can sell her rights to the Ksuba today for some amount of money, even after taking into account the time value of money, as well as the risk that she may never collect a Ksuba at all. And the Gemara borrows the term Tevis Hana, even though it is not a literal translation of Tevis Hana. Al Gemara begins, Om Abaya, Abaya states, Tevis Hana, Hoil Vas that once we brought down this concept of Tevis Hana as it relates to Edom Zayim and how to evaluate the amount that the Edom Zayim are chayiv to pay to Rachel because they tried to make her lose a ksuba, and therefore I will discuss another din that's relevant to the amount of money that these Edom Zayim would have to pay. And Abaya teaches us that although generally when a woman acquires something while she's married, then the guf belongs to her, but the peres belong to her husband. Even in a case where a woman doesn't receive kaka and instead receives money or other items, the din is that you go and buy kaka with this money, and we treat it as nuchse mulug, and the woman has the right to the gufa kaka, and her husband has the right to the peiris. And Abaya teaches us tevis hanol ishavoi, that by the gate of money that this woman will receive from the Edom Zayim, that money belongs completely to the wife and completely to Rachel, and her husband Reuven would not have any rights to this money and not even to its peiris. And Abaya continues, isakadaitach lebalavoi, if you're going to say that when a woman sells the right to a ksuba, that money goes to her husband, then the Edom Zayim should say to her that we shouldn't have to pay you anything, as we didn't even try to cause you any loss, as even if you would sell your ksuba for the future rights to collect the ksuba, and that would be for the amount of Tevis Hana, your husband would have taken that money from you in any case, and therefore we didn't actually cause you any loss of money, and why should we have to pay anything? And therefore Abaya proves, based on the fact that Edom Zayim have to pay at least the value of Tevis Hana of ksuba, therefore it's muchach that when a woman sells her ksuba for the future rights for the money of the ksuba, then she retains that money and it doesn't go to her husband. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Shalman, however Rav Shalman states that it's not a raya from this braisa, as mishum de ikar ravach besa, as I can really explain that really when a woman sells her ksuba for future rights and for Tevis Hana, that money goes directly to her husband and she doesn't receive the money. However, she says to Edom Zayim that lemaisa, you wanted to cause me a loss, as by the fact that you testified that I already received my ksuba, therefore you're trying to deny me the right to go and sell my ksuba for its future value, even if I would have sold my ksuba for its future value, that money would go to my husband. But once my husband had extra money in his hand, then certainly it would have been better for me, and certainly her husband would have been more generous with his money, and that of course would have affected her as well, as she would have had extra money for the household. And as Rashi says, in order that she should be a lot of panasa in the household, and that of course would have an effect on her as well. Keep in mind that Lefi Zeh would come out that in this case when Edom Zayim testified that she already received the ksuba, when they come to pay her for the Tevis Hana, they would actually give that money to her husband, and that would also give her the same value as she would now have Ravach Besa. And the Gemara continues, Am Rava, and Rava comes and agrees with Abaya, and Hilchos said, Allah is Tevis Hana Isha, that the Tevis Hana that a woman will receive from Edom Zayim goes to the woman itself and not to her husband, and the husband has no rights to the peiros either, as Abaya said. stated at my time, and what is the reason, period to kinyan rabbanon, period to period late to kinyan rabbanon, that even though rabbanon misakin, that a husband has right to periods of nichsim lug, as well as to any assets that a woman brings into her marriage, however, they were only misakin that he receives periods, however, periods of the periods, they were not misakin, and this payment that Eben Zayim make to her based on the fact that they lied and they testified that she already received a ksuba, that is considered period to period, and therefore the husband doesn't have a right even to those periods, and the wife receives the money, and even if she goes and buys kaka with this money, she has the right to the gufa kaka as well as to the periods. And as Rashi says, ve'ina bala eichel periods lo yamina yikach ben kaka vu eichel periods, we don't say that she must buy kaka and he will be able to eat periods. And as we stated, that even if she would go and buy kaka, the husband still would not have right to those periods. And ayin teisa divu maschal period to period lo yitekinu rabbanon, where teisa points out that generally when we speak about period to period, we're talking about those period to period, the asimi gufe, those prophets that come from prior prophets and which came from the actual nichsim lug. And as Tezus brings an example, that if Rachel got married and she brought into the marriage certain animals and then those animals gave birth to other animals, those are certainly considered the periods of the animals. Certainly her husband has the right to those newborn animals, and if those newborn animals now go and have their own vlades, and these new children are considered vlades of the original behemoths and of the original nichsim lug, certainly Zok Tezus pshita tekinu rabbanon, that rabbanon definitely misakin, her husband would receive the periods of nichsim lug, as ultimately these are prophets of the original nichsim lug, and therefore there's no reason why her husband should not receive these behemoths, even though that vlade vlades and that period of period. However, Taisus explains that when Rava says that period of period, like the kinyan rabbanon, Zok Taisus at the beginning of the Taisus, haynu b'mili the asma alma, that Rav is talking about those period of period that were unintended prophets, and for example, kugoyin toivus hanadik suba, kugoyin goyin of vlad behemoths melug, the mishalom kefil isha. So for example, in our case of Tevis and of Ksuba, where Rachel's husband still has full rights to the Ksuba and full rights to the Nichsei Tzoyim Bazel, and he is receiving those profits. However, any unintended profits, for example, in the case of Edom Zoyimim that came and wanted to make her lose her Ksuba, or in a scenario where Ganav stole the child of the behemoth which came from Nichsei Melug, in that case, the Ganav would pay kefil to the wife. Similarly, in the case of Edom Zoyimim, they have to pay the Tevis and of Ksuba, they would have to make that payment to Rachel and not to Reuven. And really, when Rava states the Lashon of period to period, he doesn't mean that these periods come from previous periods, and what it really means to say is that if Reuven is already eating the periods of the Nichsim Lug, and then there's some unintended periods that come from another source, and there's not a prophet that came directly from the Nichsim Lug or from its periods, then in that case, the husband would not be entitled to those periods. The Sheet Mekubetzes brings down for Rabbeinu Yonison, Klima, Zichu Chachbe Mishnah V'atalmud Chassidim V'ad Shemaisa, She'abal Eichel Periods Nichsim Lug, however, Avu Ba'id Sheyoichel Eisam Periods Atzman, if he's already eating the pears themselves, what came out of the kaka, and is damli isha shum revach machbas oisim akakos, if there's some side benefit that this woman receives from this kaka, kagoyin zu shemachor kakaisu b'tevis ana, kiven imizah shum hefsel bal, since there is no loss to the husband, as he's still receiving the original pears that he was promised based on tzayim bazel or nichsim lug, lo tekinu rabbanon shehen men abal. So in this scenario, the rabbanon were not misakin that the husband should receive these unintended profits. The way that we explained our Gemara, we stated that there is no machlekes between Abai and Rava. However, it is possible that Abai and Rava actually being chaylik, as potentially Abai hold that the Ein Chanami, the Tevis Tano, goes to Isha, but ultimately she would have to buy kaka, and she would retain the gufa kaka, but her husband would have rights to the Paris. And Rava is mechadishos that not only do I agree to Abai that Tevis Tano goes to Isha, but I hold that she doesn't have to buy kaka, and the Ein HaBal Eichel Paris, and the Baal does not receive the Paris. And the Gemara continues and discusses Takana Zusha, and we saw in that Pei Chesem Beis Amr Beis Rebchina B'Usha Eskinu, then Usha Deum Misakin Ha'isha Shemachar B'Nichsim Lug B'Chaya Bailu Mesa, if Rachel sells her Nichsim Lug during the lifetime of Reuven, and then Rachel predeceases Reuven, Habal Mitzim Yad L'Kuchais, at this point the husband is Yerush's wife, and he is Yerush her Nichsim Lug, and the husband is considered the Lekech Rishain, and therefore though Rachel tried to sell this Nichsim Lug to Shimon, that sale would only have been valid if Rachel's husband Reuven would have predeceased her, or if Reuven would have divorced Rachel. However, since Rachel predeceased Reuven, therefore, since the din is that a husband is Yerush's wife, therefore Reuven is Yerush her nichsim lug. As we explained, that even though generally we hold that kinyan peiros lavka kinyan guftami, and therefore a husband that only has kinyan peiros is not considered the owner of this property, and Rachel, who always retained the rights to the kinyan guf, should really be the proper owner of the property. In reality, the din should be that she could go and sell this property to a lekeach. And although certainly while Reuven is alive, this lekech would not have a right to the peiros of the property. Reuven already had rights to the peiros of Nechsim Lug. However, once Rachel dies, and at this point Reuven loses his right to the peiros, then lechera, the sale that she made to Shimon should now take effect, and therefore Shimon should be the proper owner. However, there was a special takana susha that a husband has a stronger kinyan in his wife's Nechsim Lug than a standard person has in kinyan peiros. And although generally we say that kinyan peiros lavka kinyan guf, however, as Rashi stated, Baal b'nechsei ishtoi amura b'al l'shibudei, and this was done mishum eva, and v'havi k'lekech rishon, and the husband is considered like l'kech rishon. Therefore, if Rachel predeceases Reuven, then Reuven is Yerush Rachel, and he receives the entire Nechsim Lug. And Ayin Taisis on that Pei Chesem and Beis, who asks why we need a Takanas Usha according to Rabbi Yechon, if he holds in all cases Kinyan Peiros, havi k'kinyan guf, and l'chayil, if you're Rabbi Yechon, there would be no need for the Takanas Usha. And Ayin Taisis, how he explains that even according to Rabbi Yechon, there are cases where the Takanas Usha would be applicable. And our Gemara continues, ki asra papa Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Shua mibei Rav, when Rav Papa Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Shua came from learning in Yeshiva, Amri, and they said, Taninil Takanas Usha, then not only we have the Braisa of Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina, who taught us that there was a Takanas Usha, this Takanas Usha can actually be learned from our Mishnah itself, based on Rav Papa Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Shua bringing our Mishnah, that is the connection of this entire sugya of Takanas Usha to our Gemara and to our Masechta. Rav Papa Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Shua bring from our Mishnah that our Mishnah stated that every isha p'kiyasin ra, that if someone has a connection to an Eved Kanani or to a woman, and that can only lead to problems as a chayil ben chayiv, because if you damage them, you're going to be chayiv for damaging them, and you'll be chayiv v'chamisha dvarim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'll only be chayiv dal dvarim, because you're not chayiv for boishes by an Eved Kanani, v'heim shechol b'achirim p'turim. However, if they damage someone else, since they don't have money at that time, therefore an Eved Kanani or an isha to damage someone else will be potter from paying at that moment. They don't have enough money to pay for any of the chamisha dvarim. And a puppet of Huna b'Rei Rav Shua now bring a raya that there is a concept of takanas usha, v'isak daitach leisel takanas usha, as if there is no takanas usha, taz ben nichsim lug v'titlei. And l'chayr, why do we say that this woman has no access to any money, if l'chayr she has very easy access to money, as she can go and sell the rights to a nichsim lug, and then she'll be able to give that money to the one who she damaged. Therefore, it must be that we do have a concept of takanas usha, and therefore she has no ability to sell a nichsim lug. As the Rabbanim were misakin, that in the case of nichsim lug, we do say that the husband has the right to the payers, and therefore we look at this asset as kinyan payers, as kinyan guf, and therefore the wife doesn't have a right to sell this property. The Gemara continues in response to our puppet Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Shua that you can't bring me a raya from this Mishnah, because the Lotamecha, even according to your Svara, that there is a Takanas Usha, Nehi Nami, the Isla Takanas Usha, even though it's true that we do have a Takanas Usha, and therefore they said if a woman sells this property and then she predeceases her husband, and her husband is considered a Kerech Rishon, and therefore her body would not have rights to the Kaka, and her husband would receive the Kaka based on being Yerush's wife. However, that only teaches us that Lemaisa, she can't sell this property completely to Shimon, as ultimately there is a possibility that Rachel will predecease Reuven and she will not be divorced from Reuven. However, why don't we say that Rachel could still go and sell the property to a third party, and the third party will pay her a discounted amount based on the fact that he understands that he will only have the rights to this property if her husband predeceases her or if he divorces her, and he'll understand that if she predeceases her husband, then the husband will have rights to the kaka and he will lose out. And there is definitely some value that Rachel will receive for this property, and therefore now that she received that money, she'll be able to give it to the nizik. Even if we have takanas usha, how could our Mishnah have stated behem shechol b'achirim turin that we consider that Rachel doesn't have any money, if l'chayr she could go to raise money by selling her nechsim lug? The Gemara therefore answers el de lesla, so we must say that even on the side that we have this takanas usha, our Mishnah is specifically talking about a scenario where this woman doesn't have any nechsim lug, and therefore she doesn't have any assets to sell, and therefore she doesn't have any money. Hachinami de lesla, therefore Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Shua would not have a raya, even if there was no takanas usha. Mishnah is specifically talking about a scenario where Rachel didn't own any nechsim lug, and that's why it's impossible for her to make a payment to the nizik. However, inachinami, in a scenario where this woman would have nechsim lug, then it doesn't make a difference if we have takanas usha or if we don't have takanas usha. In either case, the woman would be able to sell this asset for some money and then be able to pay the nizik. And this concept of our Mishnah about Eved Isha Pigyasin Ra because Behim Shechal Rachim Turin would not be correct in that scenario. And the Gemara now continues and asks a general question on the din that was stated on Mishnah that Isha is Pigyasin Ra, as if she damages someone, then she won't have to pay at that time because she doesn't have money. And the Gemara asks, but Tazmin Ksubasa Batavisano, but Titinlei, that in the Chanami you could explain that the Mishnah is not talking about a case where she had Nechsei Malug, but certainly every woman that's married has a Ksuba, and therefore she would be able to go and sell the rights to a Ksuba for Tavisano. Sana, and whatever money she receives from that sale, she'll be able to give to the Nizik, and she will be able to pay for his injuries. And how could our Mishnah say that she doesn't have to pay because she doesn't have money? And the Gemara answers, her money Ramehi, our Mishnah is going according to Shita Rameya, the Amma who holds Asal Adam, she is sure as Ishtar, Yafilu Shah Achas Boy Ksuba, that is an Issa for a husband and wife to stay together even for a moment without having a Ksuba. And therefore, our Mishnah stated that this woman doesn't have money, and therefore she can't pay for the damages that she caused. The only way that she can remain married is only when she has a Ksuba. And the Gemara continues and doesn't like this Teretz, as B'taim Amai, as what is Pshat Rameya stated, the Asal Adam, she is sure as Ishtar, Yafilu Shah Achas Boy Ksuba, is Kadesh Loite Kalaba Einav Loitzia. It is because we wanted to make sure that a husband just doesn't decide one day to wake up and divorce his wife, and if he knows that if he divorces her, he has to pay her ksuba, therefore it'll make it much more difficult for him to divorce his wife. And therefore, the Gemara explains that in our case, the halacha Rameya doesn't apply, as hacha loy megarish law, as the reasoning for Rameya would not apply, because in this case, if Rachel sells her rights to a ksuba to Shimon, then it won't make it easier for Reuven to divorce her, as the imegarish law is even Reuven at this point would want to divorce her. However, asu hanak tezavni, gavlo l'ksubasim inay, and Shimon, who bought the rights to Rachel Ksuba from Rachel, will at this point come to Reuven and collect on Ksuba, and therefore, once again, Reuven will say, I won't divorce my wife Rachel, because if I divorce her, I'll have to pay out the Ksuba, and even though he's not paying it mamish to Rachel, because Rachel sold those rights to Shimon, but ultimately he's still going to have to pay, and therefore the reasoning behind Rameya's din doesn't apply, and in this case, we wouldn't say, therefore, in order to pay for the damages that Rachel caused, let us force Rachel to sell her Ksuba to someone, and this way, Rachel will have money in order to pay for the injury that she caused to the Nizik. And the Gemara answers, El Tevis Hanah Milinu, Umilay Mishtabdi, that since Tevis Hanah is so conditional and there's so many ways that it's possible that this person won't get paid, and therefore, just based on her ability to go and sell a Ksuba for a very cheap price, based on the possibility that this person will eventually be paid for buying this Ksuba, that is something which is so not tangible. Therefore, the Tevis Hanah of a Ksuba is not Mishubit to a Nizik, and we wouldn't require a woman to sell a ksuba for a teva sanar in order to pay the nizik. And the Gemara continues and asks, Alom Aloi, why would we say that mili loy mishtabdi, if l'chayra mili de mishtabdi beninrininu, this risk of someone buying the ksuba for the potential that he could collect on the ksuba if Rachel is divorced or if Reuven predeceases Rachel, is an asset that someone would buy for a dinar? If so, why would the nizik not have a lien against the ksuba? Why would we not require Rachel to sell her ksuba in order to raise money to pay off her debt to the nizik? And the Gemara answers, Elam Mishum de Shmuel, the reason why we don't require her to sell her ksuba for Tevis Adar, because of the din of Shmuel, the Amish Shmuel, as Shmuel taught us, that if Reuven owes $1,000 to Shimon, and Shimon has a note that Reuven owes him this money, and then Shimon assigns a note to Levi, and he sells the note to Levi, so Shmuel teaches us that even though Shimon already sold the note to Levi, if Shimon actually goes and is Meichel de Chayiv, and he tells Reuven, you no longer have to pay the $1,000 to me, then it's considered a valid Mechila, and even if Shimon dies, his Yarshim could be Meichel de Chayiv, and now Levi will be left with nothing. And therefore, even if Rachel would sell her Ksuba to someone for Tevis Hanah, even after she sold it to that person, she could be Meichel the money that is owed to her for a Ksuba from her husband, and she could Meichel back to her husband and tell her husband that he doesn't have to pay her for a Ksuba. Therefore, our Mishnah did not give an Eitzah that the woman could sell her Ksuba for Tevis Hanah and use that money to pay the Nizik. Rachel still has the possibility of going and being Meichel the Ksuba to her husband. Therefore, the Mishnah did not feel that is an Eitzah, and that's why we said that if she damages someone, then she's going to be Pata because she has no money. And the Gemara is, Amri, Zvuni Mazbin, V'titin Lei, V'machle Legab Be'bal, Timchala. Now, Lamaisa, you're not telling me that the wife can't sell a Ksuba. You're just telling us that after she sells it, there's a possibility that she'll be Meichle to her husband. And if so, this will be part of the Cheshbin that the buyer makes when he's buying the Ksuba from her, and this will be added to his Cheshbinus and to his calculations as to how much he wants to pay for the Ksuba, and this will also lower the price, but ultimately, Rachel could sell the Ksuba and receive some money from it and use that money in order to pay the Nizik. And the Gemara answers, Amri, kol gabi bal vadi machale, in the scenario where Rachel's being forced to sell a Ksuba in order to pay someone for the damages that she caused them, she will certainly go and be Michael the Ksuba to her husband after the fact. This will cause a total loss to the buyer. And as the Gemara states, Vafsdini lahuzvina biadayim loyafsdinu, and Bezdin did not want to be misakin, that a woman has to sell a Ksuba if she damaged someone, as if the Rabbana would make such a takana, then they are actively going and proactively causing the buyer to lose all of his money, and the Rabbanan didn't want to institute a takana that will certainly cause a loss of money to the lekeach. Ayin Rashi, who explains that why is it that kol gabi baal vadi machle, as Zok Rashi hoil va kochi maichrasa, that since she is being forced to sell this asset and sell her ksuba in order to pay for a hezek that she caused, she won't feel any guilt when she goes and is meichel the ksuba to her husband. And the Gemara continues and tries to use another eitzah, v'chitema, zvina nala lehuda chavloba b'tevisana, that ain't a chinami, she can't go and sell it to a third party, lekeach. And as we just explained, that we're definitely concerned that Rachel will go and be meichel the ksuba to her husband, and this lekeach will lose his money. However, why does the Mishnah state that it was no eitzah, and she won't have to pay the person she was mazik? Here we should require Rachel to actually transfer her ksuba and assign the rights to her ksuba to the nizik, and this way the nizik will at least have some sort of a value, as if Rachel's husband either dies or divorces her, then the nizik will be able to collect her ksuba and therefore be paid for the hezek that she caused him. And we continue on that P testament base, the machla l'gabi ba'al loikamafsid, the hashinami loimidikiyavle, and even though if she sold it to a third party, we're concerned that that third party may take a complete loss, as she could be meichel her ksuba to her husband. However, since this nizik is not paying for the ksuba, he is just taking this for payment for the damage that she caused him, l'chayr, this is better than nothing, as until this point we were saying that Rachel would not have to pay him anything, and at least at this point he has a ksuba, and in the chinami, if she'll be meichel to her husband, then the nizik will not be able to collect from the ksuba. But at least the nizik knows that if Rachel is not meichel the ksuba to her husband, then if the husband divorces her or he dies, then he'll be able to collect for his hezek, and he'll be able to collect for the damages that Rachel caused him. And the Gemara answers, saif, kol gabi baal vade machla, that since in a scenario where Rachel gives her ksuba to the person that she injured, she will definitely go and be meichel her ksuba to her husband, as she has no downside. Therefore, since this itza really won't help the nizik at all, and therefore we're not matriach bezdin to go and do something that won't actually have any effect and won't actually help the nizik. Gemara continues, we learned to the brisa, that if Reuven and Rachel are married and Rachel damages her husband Reuven, then Rachel would not lose the value of her ksuba. And the Gemara is, amai, why would we say that she doesn't have to forfeit her ksuba to her husband? That based on the fact that she damaged her husband, she should have to sell her ksuba to her husband for the value of the tevis hanar. And if the injury that she caused him is actually valued at the same amount of the amount of money that she could get for selling her ksuba for the tevis hanar, so let us require that Rachel has to forfeit her ksuba to her husband. And in this case, you wouldn't have the svar that we mentioned before when she injured someone that was not a husband, as in this case, the machlul gabi baal lekapseda, as even if afterwards she would go and be meichel the amount of the ksuba for her husband, the husband who is the injured party would not lose any money, as she already forfeited the ksuba to him, and therefore this would be a valid etzah. Why does the Brisa state, v'chein hi shechavlu v'baylu leiv si the ksubasa? The Gemara answers, havadi ramehi, that certainly this Brisa is going according to shita rameya, da oma asal ad mishi shahas ishta afilu shahachas blei ksuba, as since it's also for a person to live with his wife if they don't have a ksuba, therefore in this case, if she would forfeit a ksuba to her husband, so then they would be oiva on this issa, and that's why the Chacham said that she doesn't lose her ksuba, and she doesn't have to pay her husband, even though she injured him, and even though there would be an itza that she could go and forfeit her ksuba to her husband based on the value of the Tevis Hanah that she'd be able to sell the ksuba for. And once again, the Gemara states that this answer is not valid, because the time of Mai, what is the reasoning for Ameya that a husband and wife must have a ksuba, is Kadesh Leite Kal Be'in of Leitzia, in order to make sure that it's not easy for a husband to divorce his wife, as if he doesn't have to pay a ksuba, then it'll be much easier to just divorce her, since he knows that if he divorces her, he has to pay her for a ksuba, therefore he won't divorce her. And the Gemara states, Hacha Megarishla V'Gavalei L'Chavli Minei, Yihacha Yashinami Megarishla V'Gavalei L'Chavli Minei. The Gemara is that your entire svara is that if Rachel forfeits a ksuba to her husband in order to pay for the injury that she caused him, so he will no longer have a reason not to divorce her, he will no longer have to pay for a ksuba, but L'Chira, even if we don't require Rachel to give the ksuba to her husband, he will even be more incentivized to divorce her, as once he divorces her, he can retain the value of the ksuba as payment for the injury that Rachel caused him. And therefore, by stating that the price is going according to Shita Rameya, we're not helping the situation, and L'Chira, that doesn't answer our question. And keep in mind that although we read the Gemara based on our gears of our Gemara, however, some aren't gears, the last line, they are gears, the time of Mike, Kadesh Leite Kala Be'in of Leitzia, Hacha Megarish Lo, V'Gavad Leil Chav L'Minei, and L'Chira, the Gemara flows better with that gears, and the Gemara answers, K'goin to Nafish Ksuba, so, the Mahashuma Hu Porto, Loi Mafsi Tuva, that the price that has stated, V'chein Hi, Shechavlo V'Bailo, Loi Hiv Sidik Ksuba, so, is specifically discussing a case where Ksuba is worth more than the amount of damage that she caused her husband, and therefore the Brisa teaches us that we wouldn't require her to sell a ksuba to her husband for the value of the Tevis Hanah based on the Svar Rameya Shleite Kala Be'in Vlaitziah. And since if Reuven would want to divorce Rachel, he would still have to pay her for a full ksuba and would only receive a credit for a small amount of money to reimburse him for his injury. So certainly he will still be disincentivized to divorce Rachel. And the Gemara is still not satisfied with his teretz, as the Gemara is, v'idin afishik subasa miksuba deraisa, nukma ksuba deraisa, v'idich tizben anale b'chavle. And the Gemara is, that l'chira, if a ksuba is worth a lot of money, and even more than the standard ksuba that is required by deraisa, which is either 200 zuz for a besula, or 100 zuz for an amana, so let us require Rachel to sell or give the original ksuba to Reuven for the value of the teretz sana, and this way she'll pay Reuven for the injury she caused him, in order that you're not over on the din of Rameya, and it shouldn't be Kala Be'in of Laitzia, so let us write a brand new ksuba for the minimum amount of a ksuba deraisa, and this way we won't have an issue with the din of Rameya, as if Reuven divorces Rachel, he would still have to pay Mana Messiah, and it will not be Kala Be'in of Laitzia. And the Gemara responds, Kagoin, Delayna Fisha Ksubasa, Miksuba deraisa, in a Hanami, the value of a ksuba wasn't more than the standard and minimum amount of a ksuba deraisa, therefore this Eitzu won't work, and as the Gemara gives an example, Davichavli Abazuzi, and for example, if Rachel caused damage to Reuven, which was valued at 4 zuz, which is 1 seller, and the minimum amount of a ksuba is for an amana, which is 100 zuz, therefore certainly based on the din of Rameya, we will not require Rachel to give the actual ksuba to her husband, as then she will have a ksuba that's worth less than Mana Masayim, and that is not a valid ksuba. It would be over the din of Rameya of Asla Adam Shishar Sishta Yafidu Sha'achas Play Ksuba. And in this scenario, you can't tell me that Reuven will be incentivized to divorce Rachel in order for him to be able to collect the amount of money that she owes him for injuring him. As the Gemara states, the Meshuma Bazuze Loi Mafsit Esvan Chamisha, as in order to gain 4 zuz, in order to get back 1 seller for his injury, he's not going to divorce her, and that will cause him to have to pay for the full ksuba. And of course, from the full ksuba, he'll retain 4 zuz, which is 1 seller, but ultimately he'll have to pay her 25 seller, which is of course 100 zuz. And of course, that's not a very good deal for the husband, and therefore, certainly he's not incentivized to divorce her. The Gemara continues with another question, Elohad Tanya, but we also learned in the Sefer of the prior Braisa, where the Reisha stated, V'chein hi shechavlo v'bailo lo yivsid k'zubasa, and the Braisa continues, K'shem shalai timko v'hi tachtov, that just like while a woman is married, she's not allowed to sell a ksuba to a third party, kachle tafse v'hi tachtov, the same din applied, that if she injures her husband, she will not lose out a ksuba, she will never have to sell a ksuba to her husband. The Gemara is that based on our prior discussion, V'zimna mashkachlo d'mafsida, v'hechi dami k'goin n'fisha k'zubasa m'ksuba d'raisa, that there are times that we will cause her and we will force her to sell her ksuba to her husband, and that is of course in the scenario where the amount that she's owed for a ksuba is more than the standard ksuba deraisa, and it's more than the standard mana masayim. As we stated beforehand, in that case we would require her to sell her ksuba b'tayves hanah to her husband in order to pay for her injuries, and then they would write a new ksuba for the mana masayim, and this way they're not being over on the words of Rameya, and they're not living together without a ksuba, since they now have a ksuba of mana masayim. The Gemara answers, Rava states, Sefer asal naksubas ben indichrin. The Sefer of this price is not a continuation of the Reisha, and the Sefer is not discussing a case where Rachel damaged Reuven. The question is, how does Rachel pay Reuven for his damages and for his injury? The Sefer is actually discussing the din of ksubas ben indichrin, and we know that one of the tanak ksuba is that Rachel has a clause that if Reuven is married to an additional wife, let's call her Leah, Reuven has other children with Leah, so if Rachel predeceases Reuven and Reuven inherits her assets, so generally if Reuven would now die, all his children will split all his assets evenly, but since Rachel doesn't want her family's assets to go to Leah's children, so there is a tenai that states that once Reuven dies, then any assets that originally belong to Rachel will only be inherited by the children of Rachel and not split with Leah's children. And therefore, Rav explains the safe of this price of a hachi k'tani, k'shem shemeches k'subas l'achirim, just like if Rachel would sell a k'suba to someone else based on the tevis anah, as we already stated, based on takarat usha, if Rachel predeceases Reuven, then the buyer actually will lose out and Reuven will actually inherit all of Rachel's assets, and certainly in that case, the din of ksubas ben dichrin would still apply, and if Reuven now dies, then her children will yashin all of her assets. Rashi states, V'lo yomir b'nei chavrasa imchem pashaba she'ilu ha'isa kayamas lo ha'isa goiva she'ilu l'kucha isa yegoiva na'isa, that l'maisa your mother gave up her right to ksubas ben dichrin, as if she would still be alive, the l'kuchas would have taken all of these assets, and therefore the children should not have the rights to these assets. And as the Gemara explains, in my time on what is the reason, because Zuzi hu dansu, that the only reason why she sold the ksuba to someone else was only because she was desperate for money, and therefore when she sold it, she certainly only sold the ksuba to this third party only if Reuven divorces her or if Reuven dies prior to Rachel. But certainly since Rachel died before Reuven, therefore she didn't sell the kech anything, and the din of ksubas ben dichrin still applies. Rava then continues that the Braisa now states that kach mecheres ksubas l'bayla, also in the case where Rachel would sell a ksuba to her husband, leiv sidik ksubas ben dichrin, even in that case she would not lose out. The tanaik ksuba of ksuba's bin dichrin, my time mezuzah hu dansu, as we say that the only reason why she sold the ksuba to her husband was because she needed money, and therefore she never had das to go and sell the actual ksuba's bin dichrin. That right that is granted to her in the ksuba was never something that she had in das to sell to her husband. For even in the case where Rachel predeceases Reuven and Reuven inherited her, even though it seems that Reuven bought all of the rights of the ksuba from Rachel, but this tnai of ksuba's bin dichrin he never purchased from Rachel, and therefore when Reuven dies, all of the assets that he received as Yerusha from Rachel would be split with Rachel's children and would not be split with Leah's children. Before we stop, let's point out 2 points that Taisus makes on that Peitas and Abayis. At the top of the Amid, Taisus asks, Vim Taima, Kivin Dechol Gabi Bailo Vadim Machlo, since we stated that if she will sell a ksuba to someone else, then she will definitely be Meichel ksuba to her husband. So my Kamala El, how could we possibly say, Benegate Din of Edom Zeman, Oimnim Kama Adam Reitz Litain, Laksuba Shelzu, Shum Adam La Yikna Isa, certainly there won't be a third party that will want to buy the ksuba, Kivin Devadi Machla, since certainly she will go and be Meichel to her husband. And therefore, the Edom Zeman could say to Rachel that we actually did not cause you any loss, as you wouldn't have been able to sell your ksuba to anyone for any Tavis Hana, as no one would pay any money to you for this ksuba. I entices how he answers this question, but I ain't in Rashi on that paid testament Aleph on the last line where Rashi says that the only time that we say that a woman will certainly be Meichel Ksuba to her husband, only where she is forced to sell a ksuba in order to have money to pay for the damages and the injury that she caused to someone else. However, in a case where she herself goes and decides to sell something to a third party, then certainly over there she knows that it's not proper to go and be Meichel Ksuba to her husband. Someone paid full consideration for this ksubatar, and therefore she certainly will not be meichlet, and that's why certainly b'negei edim zaymim, the edim zaymim certainly caused her loss. Ayin and Taisvis. In addition, let us see Taisvis deal maschel kashem shloi timka v'hitachtov, that the Brisa stated kashem shloi timka v'hitachtov kach loi tafse v'hitachtov. I mean, the Gemara appears Rashi kashem sheini choy limka ksubasa b'oidatachtov, that just like she can't sell a ksuba while she's still married to Reuven, kach loi tafse b'ksubasa klum b'shvil shum chavolo v'nezek shetazuk b'oidatachtov. Therefore, she won't lose out a ksuba in any case based on the fact that she was mazik someone while she's still married to Reuven. And I entesu we is vein nilri dala el amar b'chol duchta taz b'lik subasa b'teves ana v'afil k'shi tachas b'ayla, that originally we stated that this woman would be able to sell a ksuba for the value of the teves ana, and l'chira, how could the b'risa say k'shem shle timkov he tachtov that she can never sell a ksuba while she's still married to Reuven, if certainly she could sell a ksuba based on the value that she would receive based on the teves ana, as we previously stated b'negei edim zaymim. And based on this question, Taisus learns the Havmin Gemara differently than Rashi, Ayin Shum, and we will stop over here.